Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
Oh, well, pretty good, Robbie. But I'm going to put a dime on the somebody's to do something. I don't know much about football or gambling. Sorry.
You'd probably find the whole gambling infrastructure pretty interesting, actually.
That's probably true, actually.
the sports betting and stuff is actually how they figure out point spreads and lines and all that. It's pretty interesting. You probably would still care little about the actual sports, but the actual betting stuff is pretty interesting as well.
The math is always the interesting part.
Yes, always. That's what everyone agrees with. We'll see, before we get into this week's episode, please, I remind you once again that if you have yet to do it, please subscribe, rate, review us on iTunes or wherever you do listen to us. We really appreciate it. Gets more eyes on the podcast. It's what's more listeners really like it. So if you would do that, we would love you with all our hearts. All of our hearts.
Yep, all 28 of them.
How many hearts do you have, Matt?
Well, I just have three, but all those kids in my basement that are,
podcast. We don't need to talk about that, but we're just going to gloss over the fact that you're a crazy person.
What? Somebody has to edit this podcast.
Yeah, that person is me. Yeah, all the time.
Oh, you're doing it too? Okay.
Yeah, two. Yeah, as well. Yeah, we'll just add that one in. This week's episode is Lisa the Greek. Episode 8F12, originally aired January 23rd, 1982, right before the Super Bowl. Written by Jay Kogan and Wally Walidarsky. Directed by Rich Moore. Finished 27th on the ratings. Nielsen rating of 14.2, approximately 13 million viewing households. Highest rated show on Fox that week. Yeardley Smith, voice of Lisa, received an Emmy for this performance. Which,
well deserved, because this is a fantastic Lisa episode.
Yeah, well deserved. Lisa Yeardley did a great job on this one, in particular. The chalkboard gag, there is none. No, they had to cut it, I guess, to fit in all the meat. The couch gag is they sit on Sam's little helper. Poor Sam's little helper.
Poor dog.
This is, along with Lisa's substitutes, one of Dan Castellaneta's favorite episodes. He puts his two favorite, at least a substitute in this one, which, to be fair, are both very good episodes. We have guest star Phil Hartman, Troy McClure, and Smooth Jimmy Apollo, who is the aforementioned kind of parody of what this episode is named after, was a guy named Jimmy the Greek Snyder, who was a infamous or famous, depending on how you look at him, kind of bookie gambling sports line kind of guy who worked in Vegas, then moved to pregame shows where, even though he didn't technically offer gambling advice on air, what he was doing was offering gambling advice on air because he was friends with the then commissioner of the NFL, Pete Rozelle.
And why exactly was he called the Greek? Do we know?
Because that's Jimmy Snyder was not his original name.
Oh.
His original name was a very Greek name, so that's why.
Oh, well then.
He changed it for, I guess, showbiz purposes, quote-unquote. Yes, the episode begins with a very, very accurate parody of the pregame show of whatever your favorite network's football pregame show is, called Inside Football Today, setting up six-plus hours of football. There's an incredible visual sequence of Homer eating like from five bags of chips with four bowls of dip situated all around him on the couch.
Which is, you know, all of our fantasies.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful, even though we do get foreshadowing for Homer's later heart trouble when his heart like struggles to bypass to get some blood through it, even though I'm not sure if that's how it works.
Not particularly.
No, yeah. Matt, our scientist, disagrees with.
But it's not wholly inaccurate.
Yeah,
especially if you're talking like actual heart troubles when the heart valves build up a plaque. But I'm pretty sure something else happens. It's not that it just gets a giant bulge like that. It's that it starves your blood and it starves your heart and the rest of your muscles from oxygen because the blood can't get there. But it doesn't, you know, collect like that.
There you go. We have Matt, our scientist, to rely on to explain all these very incredibly complex things. But Homer is watching all the games. He is betting with Mo. Mo is his bookie. Wiggum is in the bar at Mo's at the time and is none the wiser that Mo is a bookie. Lisa is trying to get Homer's attention. She has actually built a little shoebox house for her Malibu Stacy, which I love the fact that in Lisa's head, Malibu Stacy prints a weekly feminist newsletter.
Well, of course, everyone should print a weekly feminist newsletter.
I don't have the time for it, honestly.
That's true. Plus, you know, you're a white male and all, so you probably yeah. Would get it wrong.
Yeah, I should. I am a solid ally, and that's all I should be, man. That's all we can be.
Yep.
But Lisa, obviously, she's upset. You know, she wants Homer's attention. She wants to, you know, spend time with him, but he is only cares about football. So she goes to Marge for advice.
Oh, look at that, a shoebox house. Lisa, you're so clever.
Why isn't Dad ever interested in anything I do?
Well, do you ever take an interest in anything he does?
No. Well, we used to have burping contests, but I outgrew it.
Well, if you want to get closer to him, then maybe you should bridge the gap. I do it all the time. I pretend I'm interested in looking at power tools, going to those silly car chase movies, and some things I'll tell you about when you're older. Do you understand?
I think so.
Bart!
What?
She was bathing Maggie in the sink, and Bart threw in a dish there at the end. That's why she's admonishing him. But I do love Marge's, like, some things I'll tell you when I'm older, when you're older. That's
yes, obviously she's talking about doing his taxes for him.
That must be it. I totally missed that when I was younger, too. That's a great joke. So Lisa says, she goes up to Homer and is like, well, can we watch the game together? And Homer agrees before telling Lisa to sit on the entire opposite side of the couch. Homer has lost his bet on the first game of the day. So the second game, he is trying to get all the advice he can. He goes to several, he's flipping through the channels. You know, he goes to several pregame shows, which are giving him different advice. There is this, a wonderful infomercial or commercial for this, advice line for football, which is so great. I love it.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you need to know the winners, and I know the winners. So call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coach's hot
line.
Line.
Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of Miami versus
Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
Not
Cincinnati.
Come on. Don't you realize this is costing me money?
We must consider many things. The wind.
Oh, not the wind.
Is blowing out of the west.
Oh.
At 5 miles
per hour.
Not.
Oh, this is ridiculous. What am I supposed to do? Lisa, who do you think's going to win? The Bengals or the Dolphins?
Well, I don't know. The Dolphins?
Good. Mo.
I've listened to that 5 times now. It makes me laugh every time.
Well, I mean, he's using fake made-up things like knots. What's a knot? Come on.
Something you tie in rope.
Oh, okay. Well, how does a football do that?
It's a complicated sports thing, Matt. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But that's all on Dan Castellaneta. The visuals even make it better because he's just deadpan sitting there staring at the phone, just like, okay, yeah. He's like talking to it like it's a real person. It ends up that Lisa's advice is good. And Homer has to explain how gambling works and why he's betting on football.
Touchdown, Dolphins!
All right, Dolphins!
All right, Dolphins!
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
50 big ones!
50 big ones?
Uh-oh. You see, Lisa, Daddy's friend Mo promised to give him $50 if the Dolphins won the game.
You mean you made a bet?
Well, I wouldn't call it a bet. It's a little thing daddies do to make football more exciting.
What could be more exciting than the savage ballet that is pro football?
Well, you know, you like ice cream, don't you?
Uh-huh.
And don't you like ice cream better when it's covered with hot fudge and mounds of whipped cream and chopped nuts and all those crumbled up cookie things they mash up? Crumbled up cookie things.
So gambling makes a good thing even better.
That's right! My God, it's like there's some kind of bond between us.
Now I'm hungry, thanks. Now I want ice cream sundae.
I have a very fond place in my heart for this episode because as a child, I would watch football with my dad, and I would help him bet on football. We'd have a pool at his workplace, and I would fill out a sheet, so to speak, for the pool every single week, and it always was a lot of fun watching football with my dad. And it is 100% correct. Gambling does make good things better.
If you're good at gambling.
Well, I'm not bad. I'm pretty good, Matt. I
believe that.
Well, let's see. There's back then I was, you know, this is, and I played very up till very recently. I was always playing. But even as like a 10-year-old child, there's 16 weeks in a season. There were times when I'd win 2 to 3 weeks of the year out of a probably 20 to 30, even sometimes 40 or 50 different men putting in their picks for the week. My picks would sometimes win the entire pool, and I was a 10-year-old kid. So, not to, you know, blow my horn, but, you know, I'm pretty, you know, I'm not.
So what you're saying is you're naturally lucky.
Yes, that's it. I am like long shot.
Oh, okay.
Except I have a full hand of fingers. I don't have, long shot only has like 3 fingers. Isn't that right?
Yes.
He's like a Ninja Turtle. Or is it like the Simpsons? I forget if he has 2 fingers and a thumb, or is it 3 fingers and a thumb?
It's 2 fingers and a thumb.
2 fingers? I thought it's 3 fingers.
So look at Ninja Turtle.
He's like a Ninja Turtle, you sure?
Pretty sure. The last time I saw him when he was in something.
Nope, 3 fingers and a thumb.
Oh, where's the fun in that?
So, Longshot belongs in the Simpsons universe. I think that's what we've learned. Longshot from the Marvel universe is, belongs in the Simpsons universe. Now we just need a crossover with Rachel and Miles explaining the X-Men.
Bingo. If that ever happens, it'll be the happiest day of my life, just saying.
But the game ends, they win the bet, and Lisa she's amped to tell Marge that they've won money. And Homer has to explain to her it's probably not a good idea.
3, 2, 1!
And the final from Riverfront Stadium, Miami 24, Cincinnati 10.
Yeah!
Boy, Mom sure will be happy you won $50.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? But you see, Lisa, your mother has this crazy idea that gambling is wrong, even though they say it's okay in the Bible.
Really? Where?
Somewhere in the back. The point is, we had a great time today. And to keep it that way, let's not tell your mother about our little wager, okay?
Okay, Dad.
It's really, that little conversation really does nail, it feels like a father and daughter conversation. It feels like Homer and Lisa, like, it feels, you can feel that closeness in there.
You can, and it's just hilarious how he is basically trying to sugarcoat lying to, you know, Marge about it. And, you know, we were all kids once. Our dads made us do that, right? Usually about gifts for the mom.
My mother was fine with us gambling as long as we just didn't spread the word at my Christian school that, you know, we were gambling all the time.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure most of the hardcore gamblers are also fellow Christians. So, you know, it was probably everybody doing it. No one just talked about it.
I don't know. No, not my school. Probably not.
So you went to one of those crazy people schools. Explains a lot.
Best not to talk about it. Best not to talk about it. There is like a little bit of a B story here. It's mostly just happens in this first act with Marge taking Bart clothes shopping, which it's charming. It's a fun little side story where Bart he gets embarrassed by Marge multiple times as he's trying on the ugliest clothing known to man. They really did good quote unquote good design on all those clothes he puts on because they are the ugliest in the world. I can't imagine having to wear that crap as a kid.
Yeah, you would get your butt kicked pretty heavily.
But it ends, I believe we go to commercial with Bart in the car, it's surrounded by Dolph, Jimbo, and Kearney as they're like rocking the car back and forth, and Bart's trapped inside. Marge just left him out there, apparently. But with that, we go to commercial.
Well, I just want to point out before we go to commercial that Marge gave Bart the absolute best advice for dealing with bullies. Anyone who does this, or anyone who would beat you up is not your friend. So, you know, don't be friends with those kids. But anyway.
Yeah, it's good.
When we come back, we see Lisa, who in what is probably her second week of this, is already an absolute gambling savant.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
You lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it. Mo, $23 on New York.
Wow. Lisa, that's quite the college fund. Make sure you don't spend it all in one place.
She'll get scholarships. She doesn't need a college fund.
That's probably true. But if she ever wants to go an Ivy Leaguer, she probably still need one. But anyway, that's just the beginning. Lisa continues to basically just spout off a whole bunch of gambling nonsense to Homer over and over again. And it does sound like a lot of what she's talking about is correlation more so than causation. But when she says that, oh, the Raiders will win because they always cheat, at least there she's being honest because it's the Raiders.
There is, Matt, all that stuff she's talking about. There are many people who use all that information to bet on a weekly basis on football and all sports, really. I mean, when she's spouting that stuff, 100% accurate that people keep track of all those things about point spreads on the road and, there's people who keep track.
Oh, I am well aware of that. Occasionally set up stats for sporting events. So, yeah, I know way too much about that crap, but it's just, It's all correlation. It's not, actual causation. But anyway.
Come on. Some of it works.
Maybe some of it does. I just don't care. But anyway, Lisa, in furtherance of her interest in the sport of football, goes to the library where they're having a crazy week of like three people there. I mean, it's literally amazing the kind of turnout they can get with their new sign.
Mm-hmm.
And she, of course, goes through the card catalog because that's what you had in the days before computers. And I just really enjoyed the category she looked up, especially homoeroticism and football, because obviously that's what football is all about, guys.
Not all about.
Okay, 95%, whatever. But when Homer goes to collect his winnings from Mo, he says what is perhaps one of my favorite lines of the episode. I used to hate the smell of your sweaty feet, but now it's the smell of victory. And of course, Mo is incredibly pissed off at this. And we also find out that Mo keeps a Derringer in his cowboy boots that he wears at work, which seems like they would be uncomfortable. But hey, it's Mo.
He does work at a bar. It's not crazy to have some kind of defense.
That's true. Although I usually expect him to just run back into his little panic room that has barely big enough to fit his body inside.
There's no air in it.
Yeah, exactly. But Homer, being a generous, magnanimous man, buys all kinds of stuff for everybody, starting with dinner I believe it's the Gilded Truffle, is it?
Mm-hmm,
did it they is. Say what restaurant it is?
It okay. is Gilded Truffle.
Yeah, and Marge, of course, makes the comment that they could get rid of those termites with what this dinner would cost, which means it's probably a pretty expensive dinner because termites, they cost a lot.
Yeah, it's really Remember, awful.
A penny of prevention is worth a dollar of cure, guys. Especially when it comes to termites. Little tip for you. And while they're at dinner, Marge is a little bit suspicious, as we said. But, Homer and even Lisa pipe in to say, oh, don't worry about it. We got this. And they share a little laugh, which is adorable because it's exactly what would happen in this situation if it was a real father and daughter. And, I think Marge just kind of says, all right, you know what? They're having a good time. I'm willing to put up whatever shadiness is going on just because they're getting along so well. But Homer actually calls over the violin guy and asks him to play Lisa's favorite song, which he knows, which is a little unusual for a guy who plays the violin to know the Broken Neck Blues. But hey, maybe he's a jazz musician on the side.
I used to play a stringed instrument. I still know how, sort of. And I knew guys like this. Like there are people who do this for a living who just who play a violin at a restaurant. Like they have an incredibly large repertoire inside in their head. So I can buy the fact that he would know something like that.
Fair enough. Homer continues his largesse at home by getting Marge at Meryl Streep's Versatility, Smell Like Streep for Cheap, which is the best slogan ever. What does he get Maggie? That's the one I can't remember.
He gets her a little elephant toy. I'm surprised you forget that one, Matt. A little elephant toy, but Maggie throws it away and just plays with the bubble wrap.
Oh, of course, the bubble wrap. That's what I was thinking of. He gets Lisa a whole bunch of Malibu Stacy stuff, but unfortunately they were out of the Lunar Rover because every doll needs a Lunar Rover.
Darn shooting.
Actually, as, I don't want to say patronizing, but as sometimes misogynistic as Malibu Stacy is, it's nice to know that she has a Lunar Rover, teach little girls they can be astronauts too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, Bart gets a fart generator, which is the precursor.
It's not a fart generator.
Oh, there it does make a fart sound, but it's also it has several other sounds.
I thought it was only just the. I thought it was just the, you know, go to hell and
kiss my butt.
Yeah, I didn't think it made a fart noise.
I could be wrong. I could be thinking of something else, but it definitely made the other two ones. Just stupid phrases that Bart, of course, will love. It's funny, Homer gets him this great present after the last episode, getting him one of the worst presents ever. Or, as in history, buying him terrible presents. But when it's not his birthday, he gets him great presents. And, of course, everyone is incredibly suspicious about this, and that night in bed. And then the next day at school, we see a sharp contrast between Ralph Wiggum's happiest day of his life and Lisa's.
And when the doctor said I didn't have worms anymore, that was the happiest day of my life.
Thank you, Ralph. Very graphic. Lisa Simpson, would you like to read your essay?
The happiest day of my life was 3 Sundays ago. I was sitting on my daddy's knee when the Saints, who were 4.5-point favorites but only up by 3, kicked a meaningless field goal at the last second to cover the spread.
Dear God.
That was the reaction. Ralph. That was the reaction I would get at school if I was talking about gambling, Matt.
But gambling's fun, even if you're a kid. Try it, kids. You can gamble jelly beans or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Something that's not money, you know. But like we said, Marge, of course, is incredibly suspicious of where money for all this is coming from. And to make sure Homer isn't selling his organs or somebody else's organs, she confronts him in bed and. Homer tries at first to brush her off, but of course Marge isn't having it, and even when Homer says she has to promise him that she won't get mad, Marge, of course, knowing Homer, says, I promise you I will get mad, because I know whenever you make me promise to not get mad, it's something I should be mad about. So, of course, Homer at this point knows the jig is up and confesses to Marge, and Marge makes some very good points about, you know, how this is... You know, not something that a child should be doing, but Homer basically points out that this is what brought him and Lisa together, and he's not going to stop because it's all they have, and he wants to keep that. And, of course, the next day is, you know, Sunday yet again, and Lisa goes through a whole bunch of stats and has her, what does she call it? Her 5-star silver bullet special?
Yeah, that's it.
Which turned out to be good, because that was, I believe she said Washington, which they eventually made it to the Super Bowl that year. So, yes, that is correct. Good job, Lisa. And when Homer goes to pick up the money he won at Moe's, he bumps into Barney and says, hey, Barney asks him, do you want to go bowling? And Homer says, that's crazy, it's the Super Bowl. And he says, well, what about the weekend after that? And Barney says, oh, well, his mom's coming in from Norway, but sure, why not? It's just his mother coming from a... faraway European country on a 12-hour plus plane ride. He can go bowling. And, of course, Lisa, who has decided that, you know, all these past few weeks they've been doing nothing but watching TV, so maybe they should do something else. And then, of course, Homer, being Homer, says, oh, well, you know, I'm going bowling with Barney. Daddy-daughter day is over until next football season, which I'm not quite sure how Lisa... hasn't caught on to the fact that he's only spending time with her because she's helping him with gambling. Oh. But, of course, she's crestfallen.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. I think that is just the fact. I think that they're trying to portray her innocence. I think that's the main point, is that, you know, she doesn't really, she only sees that her father is spending time with her and she's enjoying it. So it's not, she doesn't see him, you know, using her in any way. And that's, I think, to portray that she is truly innocent in that way.
That's true. This is one of those episodes where Lisa is half an adult and half a child. And at this point, this is the childlike Lisa coming out and saying, oh, I guess I was naive. And she runs to her bedroom crying, and we fade to commercial.
So we have sad Lisa and Sif. Well, Homer's a little sad too, but not as sad.
That's true.
But when we come back from the break, Lisa is having a dream sequence about her as an old lady.
My third husband bought me this. Give me some chips for it.
Are you sure, ma'am?
Don't tell me what to do, sonny. I've been gambling since I was 8, and I've been hawking jewelry since I was 12. Now give me some chips.
Which, it is a truly horrifying kind of nightmare. Lisa wakes up, you know, scared and kind of haunted by it. And we kind of see that in her reaction when she starts seeing. She sees all the Malibu Stacy stuff that Homer has bought her with all that money that he went gambling. She gives it all away to all the neighborhood girls who like rampage in like a
what? A rampaging horde?
No, when a lot of ants stampede. They rampage. They stampede in and take everything, even stealing the little chinchilla jacket that Homer is trying to bring Lisa as a kind of a makeup present. Lisa isn't impressed.
So you've come to buy my forgiveness. Sorry, Homer.
Look, Lisa, honey, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, but I really had a good time watching football with you. And I think you had a good time with me.
Yeah, I did.
Well, come on, we can still watch a Super Bowl together, can't we? Huh?
Well, I would like to see what all the fuss is about.
It's a day. So, do you think the Redskins will beat the spread?
Put me down. Look, Dad, I'll tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl if you want me to, but it'll just validate my theory that you cared more about winning money than you did about me.
Okay.
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
However.
However? What however? What do you mean however? However what?
However, I may also be so clouded with rage that subconsciously I want you to lose. In which case, I'd bet the farm on Buffalo.
Lisa, do me a favor. Complete this sentence. Daddy should bet all his money on...
I don't know.
Oh.
If I still love you, Washington. If I don't, Buffalo.
So, Lisa has put the stakes in the Super Bowl with her as her love.
I just like how she makes the assumption that she doesn't even know herself whether she is blinded with rage enough that she's telling the truth or not.
Yeah,
meditate on that.
It's a really interesting kind of dilemma that Homer has been given, and it's very smart writing. Honestly, it really intertwines both of the football and her relationship with her father with it. It's a very clever way to make us to make Homer care about football in a different way entirely.
That's true.
Let me think, where was I? So basically we cut to the day of the Super Bowl, and this was the Buffalo Washington Super Bowl, which they Simpsons have actually redubbed this with subsequent re-airings. And they have predicted the winner every time they've done this.
It's pretty impressive.
Lisa's never been wrong. That's, yeah. And
talking in syndication? Like, every time it's syndicated, they have a different
one? No, I don't know. Like, I think they would do... I think during early seasons before syndication, they would re-air this episode. I don't know. I don't know
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't know explicitly when they... I know they've only done it a few times. They haven't done it every single Super Bowl. But... for all the times they've done it, they've always predicted correctly. We cut to Moe's Super Sunday Brunch Spectacular, which is a loaf of bread and bologna, which Barney is in love with. We see in the pregame show an interview with Troy McClure.
Well, sir, we're 2 hours and 45 minutes into the pregame show, and we've got ourselves a special guest, actor Troy McClure, whose new sitcom is premiering tonight, coincidentally enough, right after the game.
Thanks, Brett. My new show is called Handle with Care. I play Jack Handle, a retired cop who shares an apartment with a retired criminal. We're the original odd couple.
What made you want to do a situation comedy?
Well, I fell in love with the script, Brett. And my recent trouble with the IRS sealed the deal.
Great, great, Troy.
That's a great reason to do anything, to be honest. You don't want the IRS on your back.
Seal the deal. So the game starts. Homer's pretty upset early on as what the Bills start pulling ahead early.
Buffalo's gonna win. Lisa hates me.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
Yeah, Homer has his daughter's love riding on it. We get the halftime show, which is terrible. And this is before they started really getting big stars for the halftime show. So this is not inaccurate that they had just a whole bunch of losers in costumes singing terrible songs. Oh, wait, it sort of is like the current Super Bowl halftime show. We get the Duff Bowl, which is a direct reference to the what used to be the Bud Bowl, where they'd have Bud beers play fake football or something. It was strange.
They don't still do that, do they?
They do not. That ended a long time ago. Bud realized they could just have commercials with big horses and or women in bikini, and they would continue to.
Thank God we have the Puppy Bowl and the Kitty Bowl now.
Yeah, exactly. You get the Kitty halftime show. It's the most important part of the Super Bowl.
Oh.
But eventually, the Redskins pull ahead and win, confirming Lisa's love for Homer.
Yes, she loves me. She loves me.
What are you so happy about, Homer? You didn't win any money.
Money comes and money goes, but what I have with my daughter can go on for 8 more years.
Beautiful.
Isn't it so?
After I catch my breath, can we go home?
So we get a little sweet, funny gag at the end with them climbing Mount Springfield with the tire fire burning in the distance. It's a good episode, Matt. I really like this one. I have a special place in my heart for this one.
I absolutely admit I do too. I love the rapport Lisa has with her dad because my father is quite the football fan as well, and I have zero interest, so I kind of know how she feels in this one. I identify it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. We should. We're not going to explore my current feelings on football because it's off topic. But it's a good, very good episode. Very good Lisa. Another very good Lisa and Homer episode. It really explores their relationship very well. And Lisa sort of, we've seen before Homer kind of go towards her and try and win her over by doing that. This is kind of doing the opposite, and it's very good, very touching, very funny. It's a lot of football stuff. So I could see that if you're not a big football fan or don't really know a lot about football or care about football, that could be probably the only weak point I could argue, but this hits square in the wheelhouse for me. So a very, very good episode. I'm very excited to rank it.
I'm terrified, but you know, I'm usually terrified.
Oh, come on, Matt. It's not that bad, but we will do that at the end of the show. As we are want to do. Next up, before we move on, please, I remind you guys, please, again, send in your My Favorite Episode submissions in my title, blah, blah, blah. Send in My Favorite Episode submissions to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Title it My Favorite Episode. Explain why any certain episode is your favorite. No wrong answers. We will read them during future episodes whenever we get there. It always excites me to see what you guys pick. Next up. Comments from the news group. I've got a good one this week, Matt. A good pool.
Ooh.
So I go back to these news groups, if you guys aren't familiar, to the alt.tv.simpson news group, and look at the couple weeks after this episode airs, see what people are talking about at that time. And, you know, there's always the usual stuff. There's a lot of conversation about how they knew that it would be Buffalo and Washington in the Super Bowl. And I'm not positive either they just guessed the two. Most those teams were both early, before the season started, were prohibitive favorites to be in the Super Bowl. But I'm guessing they just dubbed it near when the Super Bowl was going to be, if it changed at all. So that's not that hard to do, especially when if it's one or two syllables, I mean, animation would still work. But the other thing I think I find very interesting, I'm going to read it. It's not too long. See, has there ever been a thread where people post ideas for episodes and the like? Here's mine. Lisa becomes a vegetarian. Why? Because I think food is one of those gut issues, pun intended, that everyone always gets so emotional about, has so lots of places where you could have humor. Also, Lisa is such an intellectual type person that she could make the classic angry vegetarian character, maybe I should write a script. As far as I know, this is not David X. Cohen, who would go on to write Lisa the Vegetarian. But that's, you know, not till season 7 do we see that episode, but it's season 3, someone already has the idea, and they are entirely correct. It works really wonderful as an episode idea. I think it's I really find it really funny whenever someone just ends up predicting the future in these early news group postings.
Although by now I'm pretty sure everything that anyone ever predicted about The Simpsons has come to pass. So,
since this was only 4 seasons later, I would say it's not as crazy as them predicting, oh, they're going to go to Tokyo one day. Yeah, they do. They're going to go to Africa, etc. But that's it. You can find that at, on Google Groups. You Google alt.tv.simpsons. You can find it. You can search through their archives. There's still people posting episode root capsules and stuff like that. It's really interesting to see that thing has still lasted this long. So Matt, you know what time it is, right? It's not time for best episode ever, but it is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
Oh no!
Oh, whatever. You always get all the questions right anyway. No Google Trivia Challenge.
Not the ones from the listeners. The listeners are great at stumping me.
That's true. This is a part of the show where Matt and I will each bring three questions to challenge each other, try and stump the other. One easy, one medium, one hard. This week's, we have a theme from a listener. Let's see. It is from Sean at SeanieMac15, frequent contributor. His theme is anything related to Maggie. So... it's tricky come up with Maggie questions because, you know, most of the ones you can think of right off the top of your head are fairly easy. So I had to go a little deep to get my hard question. Let's say you go first, Matt. What's my easy? Hit me with an easy question.
All right. Your easy question. And the question for all you listeners out there, what famous billionaire did Maggie shoot as an quote unquote accident?
That would be Charles Montgomery Burns.
You are correct, sir. It was totally an accident. The gun just fell into her hands and happened to go off, you know? It happens all the time.
As I've mentioned...
So I should always have a strap on your guns.
As I've mentioned before, when they are panning through the crowd in part one, Maggie's the only person whose eyes lock with Burns and do not look away when he asks if someone has the guts to do anything about it. So, yeah, quote-unquote accident. True. My easy question, Matt. You ready?
I am ready.
What is Maggie's typical winter garb?
The starfish. Parka thing with the hat?
Yeah, just a star.
Sorry.
It can just be a star.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what to call it, but yeah, it's a star. Maggie's a star.
It's cute. It's Christmas appropriate.
It is.
Hit me.
Are you ready for your medium question?
Mm-hmm.
Who is Maggie's arch nemesis?
That's my hard question, Matt.
Oh, that's a bad hard.
I couldn't think of any hard ones. So, Gerald, the one-eyed baby.
The one-eyed baby, that is correct. Apparently, she just doesn't like him no matter what.
Yes. Your medium question. What is the price in the register as Maggie is scanned in the opening credits pre-HD era?
NRA forever. Just one of the hundreds of right-wing jokes.
No, Matt, really, not the one they used in the 138th.
Oh, nuts. I honestly don't remember the exact amount. I want to say like $847.23.
You were really close for just an offhanded guess. It's $847.63.
Yeah, wasn't that like the cost to feed and clothe a baby for a month or something like that back then? Yeah,
back in 1989, yes, that's correct. That was Matt grinning. He looked up the figure, and that's what they used.
That is fantastic.
Yes. Hit me with a hard question.
All right. I had to go deep for this one. Okay. In the episode where Homer becomes the Springfield chief of police, he is set upon by gangsters and is saved by Maggie in what way? What does she use to save him?
I have no idea. I don't know.
It is a rifle she keeps in her crib.
Jesus. All right.
It's a bolt action rifle, so she's gotten pretty good with it to shoot that many people that fast. And all non-lethal shots, so Maggie is quite the marksman.
She's like Terminator in Terminator 2. Just takes out people without killing them.
Yep.
Okay, hard question. What is the name of Maggie's rival, the one-eyebrowed baby?
I don't know. Javier?
I said it earlier, Matt. You didn't pay attention?
I didn't. I don't listen. Sorry. I'm bad at listening. No, it's Gerald, the one-eyebrowed baby.
Yeah, you're right.
Shucks. See,
I did not know his name, so that would have been a hard question for me. I would not have been able to get it. We have Sean also submitted a question with his theme. Who, aside from Maggie, is the only recurring character who has never spoken on screen?
I assume he means a human, right?
Yes, I'm fairly certain he means human.
Recurring character who has never spoken on screen. There are just so many to pick from. I can't.
It's hard.
Recurring character doesn't speak. All right, I give up on this one. There are too many choices.
I don't think he gave us an answer with this.
Oh, okay.
Let me check, make sure that I'm not wrong. I don't think so. Let's see. No, he never gave us the answer. So I didn't know it. I looked it up. I didn't look it up. I couldn't find an actual answer definitive anywhere. But my deduction is that it's also Gerald. Does Gerald ever speak? Does he?
No, he definitely doesn't. I guess that makes sense.
So it's also that would be also Gerald. This the one eyebrowed baby because he's human. I don't think he ever says a word. So Gerald. If there's a different answer that we're too dumb to realize, please let us know and I'll correct us in the next one.
That's true, because I feel like there's probably a lot, the people that I'm thinking of, but yeah, Gerald's the only one I can think of, because they all speak at some point.
Even Maggie, in various canonical and non-canonical ways. Let's see, I got a couple other ones I can throw at you, Matt. Let's see. I'll give you a Jasper question. This is from Chris. Since Jasper was in Radio Bart, he has some Jasper questions with us, and I'll space him out over the next couple of weeks. But Jasper, what is Jasper's last name?
That is a fantastic question. Beardsley?
Not it's not Beardsley. You're close though.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's Beardsley, just not Beardsley.
No, oh, Beards.
Beardsley, not Beardsley.
Wow, talk about in my subconscious, because I wasn't even thinking that was close to correct. Anyway,
let's see. Another question from Rob. I think this is the last one we have from him left, from Rattrap 007. When Homer wins an African safari from a box of animal crackers, he wants to do the three things on the back of the box. What are they?
Let's see. He wants to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. He wants to shoot a lion in the face. And I can't think of any.
You got the shoot a lion in the face, right? The other two are fight Muhammad Ali and ride in a convertible with two happy zebras.
Oh, the happy zebras. How could I forget the happy zebras?
How can you forget the happy zebras?
I focus too much on shooting lions in the face. Yeah. So I roll.
Doesn't that just, it happens to all of us once in a while. We just focus too much on shooting lions in the face. So I think that we can do that for trivia this week. You guys can submit themes and more questions whenever you'd like. We definitely use the themes. I think we got one left in the can, and then we have it's open season again. So keep submitting them. Questions as well. I put them in a giant file. We are working on getting all of them together, eventually add them to our website. It's just taking a bit of time to go back old episodes and collect all of them. But you can, let's see, post them, submit them to our, get in touch with us at our social media, which is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, great ways to contact us. We'd love to hear from you guys. It's always nice to see engaged listeners. Really appreciate that. Next up, Matt, you know what time it is, right?
Oh, the scariest time of the week?
If you say so, it is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt? It's better. I compare it. The closest comparison on this list probably is Lisa's Pony. It's better than Lisa's Pony.
It's definitely better than Lisa's Pony.
Yeah.
I would actually probably put it up. I don't know. I'm trying to think if it's better than Stark Raving Dad or not. Do you like the Michael Jackson guest starring and everything like that? It's also probably on the level of Bart the Murderer, but I just feel like this one has even more heart than that episode does. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably looking at number six between Stark Raving Dad and Bart the Murderer.
I think I can agree with you there. It's certainly better than Lisa's Pony because that's an easy direct comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bart the Murderer and Stark Raving Dad is a good place for it. I'm almost tempted to put it above The Way We Was, but I feel like it shouldn't go higher. And I really like Stark Raving Dad is really funny and really good, and that Michael Jackson does just an amazing job as his guest appearance. So yeah,
and it really is. It's our are a perfect example of a Bart and Lisa episode, despite not really super being about that, but it really shows the dynamic they have in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a good spot for it, right below Star Craving Dad and right above Bart the Murderer. So that's where Lisa the Greek, new number 6. Put it in right now. This list is getting mighty long, Matt. We are up to 49 entries. Homer's Odyssey still last place with Lisa's substitute.
Or Homer's Odyssey.
Lisa's substitute holding strong at number 1, but it's facing Murderer's Row as we go along here.
Oh, man. Just wait. Season 4 is coming up. It's going to be rough.
It is. I mean, season 4, but 5, 6, 7, 8, even 9 and 10, there's great episodes in all of them. So you can find this list at our website, thesimpsonsshow.com. 2 S's there in the middle. Everything is there. New episodes, downloadable streaming, links to our Twitter, to our Facebook, to our RSS feed. Link this list. I break it down by season. Probably do it other ways eventually. You can, contact us through there, comment on new episodes, and donate to the show if you'd like. We'd really appreciate that, of course. What's our next episode, Matt? This is our 50th episode. What's the next one?
Whoa! Our next episode is Homer Alone, a surprisingly good one that I forgot about that I feel is a great Homer episode by himself, really.
Yeah, Homer Alone. I'm excited to watch this one again and talk about it. 50 episodes, man. We're almost 10% of the way done through the entire run.
Yay! Just forever to go.
It's not forever. Simpsons will eventually end.
Yeah, sure.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Eventually. Let's see. I might forget. Oh, before we go, you can find me online at Mixmaster Serial. That's MixMasterCereal. You can please check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, available where all your podcasts are found. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true, but I have recently discovered that I am royalty, and as such, bees are under my command now. So if you have some bees nearby, just pass a message along, and I will get it eventually.
Is that how royalty works?
According to Jupiter Ascending, it does.
I have not seen that movie, so I don't know anything about that.
That's probably how it works. Just go with it.
Okay, all right. Scientist Matt has spoken once again that bees are under the command of all royalty. Makes me a little bit scared of Queen Elizabeth's power. I think with that, we can call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.